नाहं तवांख्रि कमलम् क्षणार्थमपि केशव त्यक्तुं समुत्सहे नाथ स्वधामनय मामपि।
ना
आई एम नॉट अहम
आई
तवा
युअर
अंक्रि कमलम लोटस फीट क्षण ऑफ ए मूमेंट अर्थम फॉर हाफ अपि इवन केशव ओ किलर ऑफ द डेमन केशी त्यक्तुम गिविंग अप समुत्सहे एम आई एबल टू टॉलरेट। नाथा ओ मास्टर स्वधाम योर ओन अबाउट नया प्लीज टेक माम मी अभी ऑल्सो। ट्रांसलेशन ओ लॉर्ड केशव माई डियर मास्टर I cannot tolerate giving up your lotus feet even for a fraction of a moment. I urge you to take me along with you to your own abode. It's a purport by servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Uddhava understood that Krishna was going to withdraw the Yadu dynasty and thus he begged the Lord to take him along to the Lord's abode. He had no desire to merge into Krishna's impersonal effulgence. Instead, he wanted to go to the Lord's spiritual abode and continue associating with Krishna as his dearmost friend. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can do whatever he likes. But the devotee begged the Lord for the chance to serve him. Although the Lord manifests within the material world his various abodes such as Vrindavan, Dwaraka and Mathura, and although these are certainly known different from their counterparts in the spiritual world, the most advanced devotees, overwhelmed with desire to personally serve the Lord, are very eager to go to the Lord's original spiritual planet. As stated by Lord Kapila in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pure devotees have no desire for liberation. Because of their energies, because of their eagerness to render service, they urge the Lord to appear before them. The six Goswamis, due to their intense eagerness to serve Radha and Krishna, urgently searched after them, calling out their names in the forest of Vrindavan. Similarly, Uddhava is urging the Lord to take him to his own abode so that Uddhava's personal service to the Lord's lotus feet will not be interrupted even for a moment. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that immature conditioned souls think that Lord Krishna is an ordinary jiva soul engaged in material activities and was thus unable to protect his own dynasty from the curse of the Brahmanas. Uddhava's statement corrects such unfortunate persons. It is Lord Krishna himself who awarded pious living entities birth in Brahmanical families, and then Lord Krishna further awarded them the potency to curse his dynasty. And finally, Lord Krishna personally kept the curse intact, although he was capable of neutralizing it. Therefore, in the beginning, middle and end, directly and indirectly, in the past, present and future, Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he is completely transcendental to even the slightest touch of material illusion or impotence. Om Jnana Timranthasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Datati Tva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajadam Sahagana Raghunadhanitam Tam Sajivam సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణా లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గోరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిభ్యే వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ప్రైమర్లీ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ షో ద అటాచ్మెంట్ and affection of Uddhava towards the Supreme Lord. And he intensely desired to go to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, the first point that is mentioned in the purport is he is not desiring to finish the material existence by attaining liberation. So what is liberation? There is a crucial problem in obtaining liberation. It is often considered as a prisoner's mentality. Suppose there is a prison which is overcrowded. It's like if you go to some big prisons in India like Tihar jail, very famous, notorious rather. If you go there are several cells and each cell is filled with so many people. And there are no basic facilities, you know, no proper toilets, no proper food, hard work, so many people are, you know, in one cell cramped, everything together. So it's a very difficult situation. And there are not much entertainment also. So in this situation, anyone would desire, whether can I just get out of the prison? That is my ultimate objective. So if, say, the president of the country on a particular day visits that prison and asks all the inmates, what do you want? So some of them say, I have a tough time here, so maybe just give me some material comfort. You know, give me some extra blanket. It's very cold and I don't have enough blanket, give me some extra blanket. Some may say, no, there is higher class prisons, you know, where all these facilities are there, very good. You know, I have air conditioning, I have nice bed, I have no lot of people, only a few people around me, so it's better conditions. So, give me a facility in which I can stay in this prison much in a much better way. So, in the material world, when people try to get more benefit, when they try to get more material benefit, when they work hard to get something within this material realm, it is just like prisoners who are not very intelligent. It is apparently foolish to ask for something material in case of a prisoner, because for a prisoner, the best thing is to get out. If you ask anything to further his stay in that prison, doesn't make any sense. It is completely irrational. However, many people does ask. And somebody gets a bit more intelligent when they become a bit bright, they think the best thing is to get out. Of course, it is an intelligent attempt to get out of the prison because you are conditioned by so many different things. You have to obey so many rules. So it is too bad to be in the prison. So he tries to get out. However, he does not know what to do exactly after going out. So that is a prisoner's mentality. He wants to know only, I want to just get out of the prison. He doesn't know anything more than that. So he may not know how to spend rest of his life or rest of his time outside the prison. That is a difficult position if he does not know, because he goes out and he engages in the activities which he used to do, and he may come back to the prison. You know, people get out of the prison, spend some time outside, again get into the same criminal activities, then they get in. So it's just getting out and getting in. So there is no permanent solution, there is no permanent freedom. This is the basic problem with this prison mentality. In the same way, when it comes to the spiritual life, Rupa Goswami basically says two wishes are there that can arise in the heart of a devotee as he practices devotional service. One of them is the desire for sense gratification or bhukti, and then as one advances, one may even get a desire for liberation, because you know it's enough, I am practicing devotional service for so long and this material world is so troublesome, so I just want to get out of this misery. This is the mentality of mukti. It is the mentality of one who is in the prison, who just want to get freedom. So both these things, both bhakti and mukti, are inimical to the devotional service. Now, apart from mukti, that is just merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Lord, there are other four kinds of liberation also, which are called the Vaishnava liberations, which is better. Even the devotees can aspire for those kind of liberations. If you see Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami dedicates almost 1.5 chapters. If you see 1.5 chapters, that is three, the rest of the three, the second half of third chapter and the fourth chapter are completely dedicated to clear the doubts of the devotees that there is nothing superior than devotional service. And instead, the devotional service surpasses all liberations. So one might ask, why after describing or after denying liberation in the third chapter, Rupa Goswami is dedicating one full chapter on explaining how liberation is inferior. So there are many, you know, 20 to 30 references are given from various scriptures showing the problem with the liberation and how the devotees do not aspire for liberation. Give the example of Vritrasur, Maharaj Prithu, Billamangal Thakur. So many examples are given, all these elevated devotees, why they don't go for liberation? Because they have a higher taste. It's like, when one aspires for something higher than liberation, that is any of these four kinds of liberation, that is the Sarupya, Salokya, Samipya, Srashti, all these things are considered Vaishnava liberation. There, a prisoner, he is actually setting up some standard. That is, he is thinking, okay, I have got some positive activities to perform once I get out of this prison. It's not that I just want to get out and I don't know what next, but I have some positive activities in which I can engage. In this verse, apparently Uddhava is asking to go to the abode of the Supreme Lord. And he is mentioning, I can't even spare a moment without the association of the Supreme Lord, because he is so much in love in serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So in this verse we can see the heart of a pure devotee like Uddhava. His heart is very clearly mentioned in this verse. That is, even if for a half of a moment, he cannot stay away from the lotus feet of the Lord. It is exactly opposite to us. Now, for us to remember the Supreme Lord for a few moments, it is hard. For Uddhava, it is exactly the opposite. For half a moment, he can't forget Krishna. This is the difference between, you know, the pure devotees and who are aspiring devotees. A huge difference. And I was thinking, in this verse, we are seeing actually the heart and the intention of a pure devotee. Now, what does the Supreme Lord consider himself about the pure devotees of his? Because the devotion service is reciprocal. The devotee's heart, it is clearly mentioned in this verse. And how about the Supreme Lord? What is in his heart? What he has to say about his pure devotees? So I was thinking, what is the context, you know, which section of Bhagavatam actually describes this? It is in the ninth canto, very nicely describes how the Lord, he is feeling and what is there in his heart about his pure devotees. So this is in the context when Durvasa Muni tried to kill Maharaj Ambarish for a very minor mistake. That is, you know, he broke the fast of Ekadashi without honoring Durvasa and his disciples. So he created Durvasa out of anger. He created this huge demon, and the demon was supposed to kill Maharaj Ambarish. Immediately, the Sudarshan Chakra came and started to kill, or he was chasing to kill Durvasa. First the demon and Durvasa. So Durvasa first went to the abode of Lord Shiva, because in one sense Lord Shiva, Durvasa himself is an expansion of Lord Shiva. So he thought, maybe I would get some help from him. He went there, he begged for help, but Lord Shiva said, no, it is not in my capacity to help you. You had to go somewhere else. And for Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma is superior, because where from Lord Shiva came about? He came from the in between the both eyebrows of Lord Brahma. So Durvasa went to Lord Brahma and he requested. Lord Brahma said, no, I can't do anything. Then finally he had this mystic potency to go to the abode of the Supreme Lord. So he could travel to the spiritual abode, and he reached the abode of the Lord and he met with Narayan. That time they had this conversation, and in this the Supreme Lord says what is there in his heart about his pure devotees. So I will just have a quick look at the few verses from the ninth canto. So he says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the course of their hearts. What to speak of my devotees, even those who are devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. So here, the Lord is saying, first of all, he is making the point, I am not at all independent. In one sense, even the first verse of Bhagavatam says, the Supreme Lord is completely independent. Not just he is just independent to some degree, but he is Swarat, means completely independent. But here the Lord is saying, no, I am completely dependent on my devotees. And in the next verse he says, why am I completely dependent on my devotees? And also he mentions, the devotees are of course dear to me. Not only that, even devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. He says, bhakte bhakta janapriya. So if somebody is dear to, or somebody is worshipping the devotees of the Supreme Lord, we worship Srila Prabhupada, we worship our spiritual master, and if we become dear to our senior devotees, who are devotees of the Supreme Lord, then the Lord becomes very pleased to us. As we sing, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado. So the whole point is just becoming instruments in the hand of our spiritual master in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. By that we can please the Supreme Lord. And here the Lord is confirming that point. That is, even devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. And how about the pure devotees? They don't have anything other than Krishna in their heart, because they are completely devoid of any material desires. Next verse actually says, why the Supreme Lord is dependent on his devotees. He says, O best of the Brahmanas, without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulence. So here says, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient, but for him to expand, and he is Atmaram, you know, he is completely self-satisfied. Even his devotees are completely self-satisfied. So Krishna is Atmaram, and the devotees of Krishna are also Atmaram. They are also self-satisfied. So here the Lord is saying, I am self-sufficient, I am self-satisfied, but to increase the transcendental bliss, he needs always the association of devotees. So whenever we speak about the Supreme Lord, he has always loving devotees with him. That is one of the supreme opulence of Krishna. He is always with the residents of Vrindavan, enjoying the pastimes. So it is said that one reason he is very merciful, and he likes all his conditioned souls to be back to Godhead, because then he can further expand his mission of enjoyment. The Lord further continues. Now he explains what are the qualifications of his pure devotees. So he mentioned, okay, I am not at all independent, I am completely dependent, and all the devotees are dear to me. And then he mentioned what are the qualifications. The qualification of devotee is that is mentioned in this verse. He says, since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? So the Lord is exactly understanding the mood of a pure devotee. He doesn't have any attachment to, you know, the so-called family or children or relatives, riches or their own maintenance. So the pure devotees are on that platform, and the Lord is saying, they know only me, so what can I do? I have to support them, I have to reciprocate with them. There is no other way. So this is the viewpoint of the Supreme Lord. And sometimes it is mentioned, sometimes the Lord takes away even the opulences when he thinks it's an obstacle in one's devotional service. It is like Srila Prabhupada, when he was kind of in Vanaprastha, the business was running, and he just went to Jhansi to start the League of Devotees. And one time he received a telegram from his relatives saying that his business has completely shut down. He looked at that and he actually smiled, and immediately the verse that came to his mind was Harishe Tad Dhanam Shanai. Krishna, he takes away the opulence from his devotees if it is an obstacle in their devotion service. Shanai, gradually. So Prabhupada could see actually gradually how his business was collapsing, and finally at this point he realized, okay, it is completely gone. Now it is not in my control. Then he took sannyas and he preached all around the world. So that's how the Lord reciprocates with his devotees. When it is an obstacle, he can take away. Now the Lord is further explaining how the devotees of the Lord, how actually they control the Supreme Lord. So initially we saw, you know, he is completely dependent, and why he wants to be dependent, and what are the qualifications of his devotees. And now the Lord is saying, how my devotees are controlling me. He says, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me their full control, bring me under their full control. So by the pure devotion service, the devotees of the Lord they just bring the Supreme Lord under their control. So how the Supreme Lord becomes under control? Because of pure devotional service. In many religions, there is a saying, you know, God is great. God is great. If you say Christianity, people say God is great. You know, in Islam, everywhere, it is written, God is great. But if you take natural devotion and if you take chapter 1, if you go towards the end, Prabhupada says, God is great, but love for Godhead, devotional service for the Supreme Lord is greater. So something is greater than God. That is love for the Supreme Lord. It is said it is greater than Lord. Why? Because by that, here it is said, the Lord can be under control. That is one reason that Krishna doesn't give love for him so easily. He is saying, Muktim dadati kathichit smana bhakti yogam. I will give mukti. I will give the liberation from the material suffering if you want, but na bhakti yogam, but not the devotion service. Because he can be completely controlled by his devotees. And he said, Krishna is known as Ajita. Krishna is Ajita. He is unconquerable. But the devotees are said is Ajita Jito. As you know, in the 13th chapter, the 10th canto says, he is Ajita Jito. One can actually conquer the unconquerable. They said, Jnane Prayasam Udabhasya Namanta Eva Jivandisan Mukhrida Bhavadiya Vartam Stane Sida Shruti Gadam Tanivang Manopur Ye Prayasho Jita Jito Pyasi Taishri Lokyam. That is, just completely give up all the speculative mentality and give up all the sense gratification, and you hear my glories and serve with word, mind and intelligence, and then one can actually conquer the Supreme Lord. So here that point is mentioned, and with that service the Lord himself is saying, okay, I am under your control. And one more very interesting verse, this is actually a very famous verse, is saying, Sadhavo hridayam mahyam sadhunam hridayam toham madanyeta na janati naham tefyo managapi. If the Lord again says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. So this shows the intimate relationship between the Lord and his devotees. And one more qualification, finally, in this one qualification of his devotees is mentioned. So this is actually, he says, my devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya and Srashti. Although these are automatically achieved by their service, what then is to be said of such perishable happiness such as elevation to the higher planetary systems? So the devotees of the Lord are not interested in these four Vaishnava liberations also. It's not that they are not interested in only the mukti or the impersonal liberation. They are not even interested in all these kinds of four Vaishnava liberations. However, here we can see Uddhava, he's asking for Salokya Mukti, even though he is a pure devotee. A pure devotee is not supposed to ask for, they are not interested in any kind of liberation, including Salokya, including Sarupya. Salokya means going to the same abode as the Supreme Lord. And Sarupya means getting the same body, the bodily features as the Supreme Lord. And Samipya means getting close association of the Supreme Lord. And Srashti meaning getting the same opulence as the Supreme Lord. The pure devotee is not desiring for any of these things, but Uddhava, he is apparently asking, okay, I want to go to your abode, meaning I want Salokya Mukti. How is it? It's actually explained very clearly in this purport. And first we can see what is the position of Uddhava. Uddhava is already a liberated soul. He is one of the best among the Yadus. In the assembly in Dwaraka, he is one of the minister and he is advisor of Krishna. He has got very intimate relationship with Krishna. When Krishna sent Uddhava to gopis to deliver the message, the Uddhava Gita, to deliver the message from Krishna. When the gopis, when they saw Uddhava, first they could see, you know, he is exactly looking like Krishna, very similar. He has the same complexion, he had the same bodily features, he was wearing yellow garments, he had garland made of lotus flower. So initially complexion, in all the ways he was looking very similar. But they could understand, this is not Krishna, but a great devotee of Krishna. So they surrounded Uddhava and took him to a seclusion and started questioning about Krishna, what's happening with, etc. So this is the position of Uddhava. He is already in Sarupya. It's not that he has to achieve anything. He's already in Sarupya. He has already the same bodily features as the Supreme Lord. Still, Uddhava is asking. He's saying, okay, give me Salokya. Take me to your abode, because I can't bear separation from your lotus feet even for half a moment. So there is one reason why Uddhava wants to go to the abode of the Supreme Lord. What is that reason? He doesn't want to stop his service to the Supreme Lord. So he is asking, so for him the service is superior. So the service to the Supreme Lord is superior, and that is the only reason he is asking, okay, let me go with you to your abode. So that is the only reason. So there is no tinge of other ulterior motivation behind the statement of Uddhava. He just wants to continue his devotion service without any break. And we can see in the next chapters, we can see how the Lord is reciprocating. The Lord, he doesn't actually take Uddhava with him. He says, okay, now you stay back, you take the renounced order of life, you take sannyas and worship me in the core of your heart. So that is the instruction that is given by the Supreme Lord to Uddhava. So the reciprocation differs. In that way, Uddhava can, he is still in Dwaraka, he is still with Krishna, because in his core of his heart, the Supreme Lord is there, and he can continue his devotional service while being in the renounced order of life on this, in this material world. So here, this is an exchange actually between the Lord and his devotees. As we read in this verse, how the devotee is feeling about the Supreme Lord, and as the Lord was saying in the ninth canto, how much affection he has for his pure devotees. Then if we place ourselves in front of the Lord, or if we consider ourselves, we may say, you know, this is dealings between the Lord and his pure devotees. How about us? We are not for pure devotees. We have, you know, so much of nonsense, or at least me, so much of anartha. So how about us? How the Lord reciprocates? As Bhagavad Gita says, okay, Krishna reciprocates. He says, yeah, samam pravatinte tam sadaiva bhajamiham. He, accordingly, as you surrender, I reciprocate. That is there. And Srila Prabhupada mentions very clearly, he says, if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards you. So this is the reciprocation even to any living entity. He never forgets any service rendered by any of his devotees at any of the time, even once. Prabhupada mentioned, if you take a hammer and, you know, hit the nail, you know, or head of a nail, you know, to repair something for Krishna, then he never, eternally he remembers. Can you imagine? That is like, you know, just hitting a nail, head of a nail, and he remembers eternally that service. So that much affection the Supreme Lord has for his devotees, whether if he's conditioned or, you know, his pure liberated soul. Even though there is so much of reciprocation and devotees know that the Lord reciprocates in this way, the devotees are always careful. It's like King Kulashekhar, he prays, you know, now my body is fit. He was a great devotee, he was a pure devotee in fact. He's saying, my body is fit and now I can remember you, so let me go back now, let me die now, rather than I don't want to wait till the end, where I will have all this kapha, vata, pitta, all these doshas, all these problems with kapha, vata and pitta, where I can't think about you. My voice will be choked up, you know. How will I remember you at that time? So rather, let me go away now. This is actually showing, even though devotees understand, there is reciprocation from the Supreme Lord, and they are rendering service and the Lord is reciprocating, but they don't want to take a chance. They are cautious of their position. They are taking precaution of their position in the material world. So Prabhupada, when he was lying on his deathbed, in fact, he was mentioning this verse, you know. Where the verse start from? Krishna Todiya Padabangaja Banjaratam. So he was mentioning this line so many times, just telling, you know, just I want to leave now. But Prabhupada's intelligence was completely clear. He was completely fixed in Krishna even at that time. Still he was still mentioning, you know, Krishna Todiya Padabangaja Banjaratam, you know, Krishna, I want to just take shelter, I want to just go to the abode, to the shelter of the Lord of feet of yours. He was mentioning again and again. We can read in Leelamrita. And Ishopanishad also, there is mention, the devotee is praying. He is mentioning, now I have completed my life, you know, I have done all the service for you, and at this stage, please remember whatever I have done. It's like Lord is already promising, you know, Lord never forgets, and the devotee knows, still he is assuring, he is asking, yeah, please don't forget whatever service I have rendered to you. And there is one thing, for practically we have to do some service if we had to pray like that. If we don't have done enough service, then, you know, at any point we cannot say, you know, remember my service. So if we try to remember ourselves our service, we can't remember anything, you know. So that is a difficult position. So we had to do some service so that, okay, we can remember at least towards the end. Okay, Krishna, please remember our service. And, you know, there is this pastime in the similar line. Ramanujacharya, he is again a pure devotee. He had this doubt, you know, what will happen when I die? You know, I will be afflicted with so many diseases. You know, I won't be able to think about the Supreme Lord. Bhagavad Gita says, you know, whatever way one leaves, the whatever you think while leaving the body, that destination you get. So, what will happen to me? Old age, you know, there is no guarantee. I can't remember Krishna. Ramanujacharya was thinking like that. And he went to Lord Ranganath. And it's a huge deity of Lord Ranganath. He's a Vishnu lying down on Anantashesh. And he went and he asked the deity, okay, what can I do? If, you know, he asked this hypothetical, he presented it as an hypothetical question. Suppose, if your devotee forgets you at the time of death, you know, due to so many reasons, because, you know, so many reasons can be there in this world. So the Lord, immediately, the Lord said, that's alright. Even if my devotee forget me at the time of death, I will forget them for sure. I will remember them for sure. So everyone is back from shock. Not many people are sleeping. So that is the point. So this is an explanation of how the Lord and his devotees, how they exchange the devotional service and the reciprocation from the Lord. I think I stop here. Any comments, corrections or questions? Yes, sir.
Sometimes you see old age people lose their memory.
Yeah.
So how does he remember
Krishna? Is a devotee or a not a devotee?
Devotee.
For a devotee. If a devotee is sincere, you know, Krishna can come. Even if you forget, even if you have, you know, any problem with the mind, Krishna can force himself into the heart of a devotee. Because he is all powerful. He can do whatever he wants. So for him it's not a big deal. For us it is a big deal, but for him it's not a big deal.
What about for a non-devotee?
Non-devotee, he has so many things to think about. Even if he has not a memory, I don't know, dull. So maybe a dull birth, I don't know which one. Animal or plant or whatever. Yes, Madhuri.
I
who?
Yeah. And you'll spend something with switching to everyone.
Yes, yes.
But there was one person who will avoid him at any cost.
Mm.
And then once upon a time, the chief medical where this person was got bombed and he was dying. So the devotee said, "I'm going to go to him." And he went there and he started preaching to him and chanting.
Yeah.
And this person said, "Now I avoided Krishna at any cost. And now when I'm dying, there is no one here except for him."
Mm.
And they said that actually he left the body and that he was kind of liberated. They said that there were some times that he was liberated.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And there was also another story after the war in Yugoslavia. There was one devotee walking on the street.
Mm.
And suddenly Mataji, also devotee, approached him. And they started walking for past 10 minutes together. And the man dropped, got heart attack and died. And the lady chanted to him, "You know, he died by, well, listening to chanting." So thinking how Krishna makes arrangements.
Yeah.
It's not always depending on us and our
guilt,
but we actually all
depend
on Krishna.
Yeah. Mercy. Mercy is the endeavor and the mercy, yeah.
One small point.
Yeah.
You said Durvasa Muni went to Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
But if he's part of him, how do you explain that he went to Lord Shiva?
Oh, because, you know, even it's like there is two tattvas. One is Vishnu tattva, we know, the expansions of Vishnu. Similarly, there is Shiva tattva also, you know, even Rudra's expanders, how many, 9 or 11, whatever, you know, he has so many expansions. So, Durvasa is son of Shiva, how, I don't know exactly the story, expansion, yeah. So he can go, because they can exist as two different entities, because Rudra's expand themselves into 9 Rudras, or 11, how many?
11
Rudras, yeah. So, he has that potency. Yeah.
How can we can see that devotees are actually not careful?
No.
It's a call for that. Like when you were talking about it, it was obviously cautious and obviously like according to place of anxiety, like you were talking about, like, remember you. But often devotees, they're not left with fear. They're not afraid, they're not very careful that they're actually controlling Krishna.
Yeah.
What would you say the reason for that?
Yeah. When we say such prayers, these are very elevated prayers, you know, when King Kulashekar prays, "Okay, you take me now," that is, he's a pure devotee. So, certainly we won't pray like that, for sure, because our consciousness is, you know, very bad at this, at least mine, you know, very bad, so it'll be tough if we pray like that. So, as one progresses in devotional service, as Prabhupada, okay, perhaps I can take this example where Srila Prabhupada mentioned one complaint or one problem with my disciples are, is that the degree to which they fear about Maya. The degree to which Prabhupada said, okay, I am always cautious that, you know, I won't fall down. That's what he was telling. So the degree to which there is two things are going on simultaneously. One is devotion for the Lord. And on the other side, one has to be cautious and fearful about the material world, about Maya. So, Mataji was asking actually, why we don't have that fear? One is lack of proper understanding, and second, as we increase in our devotional service, the other side also increases. That is the fear, or being in a cautious position where we can render devotional service without interruption, that also increases. So we can say, an advanced devotee, he avoids all the circumstances that interrupts his devotional service. He doesn't want to do, you know, he doesn't want to take any chance, or he doesn't want to engage in senses or mind in such a way that it will create interruption to our service. So that is the state of, as one advances, one understands my service is important, my devotional service is important. So, you know, the few these kind of engagements that will actually create hindrance in my service, so I shouldn't do that. So it actually happens along with as we progress in devotional service. It may not come immediately, but as we progress in devotional service, it happens. Okay. Is it?
Yes. So it is also probably just about the ignorance of how dangerous Maya actually is.
Hmm.
And then also just the desire to just enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right, yeah. Two-sided. It's two-sided, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, go.
Instead of going back to God, if the body goes to a universe where Krishna's having his pastimes, takes birth there, and then gets trained up,
yeah.
And then go back to God.
Yeah. Yeah, that is explained. That's a nice point, actually. Don't directly go to the abode of the Lord directly. Rather, they get the pure devotees. They get trained how to act in the leela, in the material world, in different universes, whereas Krishna is enacting his pastimes. And finally, when they are trained, they are sent to the spiritual world. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yesterday, isn't this body being dissected and looked at different parts, like in the hospitals, the doctors are doing, you will find no evidence of anything like the presence of the consciousness or anything. You will not be able to find out if you look at the structure of the body inside. So it's only the emotions or only the consciousness which is pervading the whole universe, which is not even like seen.
Yeah.
Like basically the very subtle thing which is present and
yes,
you
it is.
See it. And anyone's intelligence or mind is dwelling in the custom only, like the healing or emotional service. We only dwell at the certain thing which is like a direction to our activity or culture, like the things which I'm trying to explain.
So what is the question?
The question is that we cannot make a see the soul and then we can feel it.
Yeah.
As long as your soul is there to body, then
so
the activism will be where's the consciousness?
So there is no question. So it's a statement. Okay, it's fine. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Kandarashima Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.